Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge. And yes, you are with Andrew, Bertie and Joy. Now, before we start, I want to mention, Bertie, what happened in New Zealand. You know how we talked last week about the vote?
I do.
To legalise gay marriage?
I do. And I think something's happened, hasn't it, in the news?
Yeah, it got through 80 to 40.
Yay!
Isn't that fabulous? And now what happens is it goes to committee.
That's because all the sheep voted.
No, I don't think
surely
you should.
Surely not.
All the gay sheep.
Don't think you should call the politician sheep. I don't think that's very nice. Anyway, my sources from New Zealand inform me that it should take about 6 months.
Cool.
Before it becomes legislation.
Well, we were saying last week when I was chatting to some mates who live in Auckland that when I was asking them about it, they said, you know what, it'll just go through because New Zealanders aren't really bothered. It's not that they don't care, they're just not really bothered about making a big fight over something that should be anyway.
The churches are all saying at this stage that they won't perform gay marriages. But yeah, that's their choice, and I don't know.
But that's happened in a lot of countries, is you can still have a civil partnership, but not in a religious venue.
Well, MCC will certainly be busy, won't they? Doing,
they sure will. But that's great news.
Marriages.
So have you set the date then, darling? Have you been down on one knee?
No, I haven't.
Gwen, gosh, if you're listening.
She will be. Hi, darling. I proposed the first time. I think she should propose this time.
Oh, well, that's fabulous news. And well done, New Zealand, for trailblazing way ahead. While meanwhile, Australia's blethering on about it, toing and froing, and it'll probably be another year.
Or two.
Or two. Three. Well done, New Zealand. What have I been doing this week? I've been watching the Paralympic Games.
They're great, aren't they?
Do you know what? I have more respect for them, actually, than even the Olympians, because these people are totally awesome.
They're inspiring.
Totally awesome, the way they've dealt with whatever's been, you know, they've had to deal with in life, and yet here they are, bouncing back and winning medals for their country. Absolutely fantastic.
So tonight we have in our studio Andy Sorensen, who we're going to talk to. But first we're going to hear a track by Shane Howard called Love is a River.
This is Joy 94.9, your gay and lesbian station.
And good evening. You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. And we have a very special guest with us in the studio tonight called Andy Sorensen. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you very much. Great to be here. And the piano player. That's another P.
Well, it's another P, exactly. Mm. Priest, Pom, Poof, panel player, panellist. It just flows, this show, doesn't it?
We're just all over it.
It's great. Now, Andy's with us for the whole hour. If you have any questions you'd like to send to Andy, you can call on 1300 Joy 949, or send us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949.
And he loves difficult ones.
He likes difficult questions. And email is onair@joy.org.au. So please feel free to shoot questions through during the whole hour.
Now, I wish this was actually TV so you could see the look on his face.
Well, if it was TV, everyone would have seen us playing air guitars and air pianos a minute ago to that track. Yeah. So, right, drum roll, because we'll do a bit of a build-up. Thank you.
I can be your sound effects.
Good sound effects. So, Andy Sorensen is a synthesizer-wielding, a singer-songwriter, who uses his custom-built eclectic piano rig to organically create lush, atmospheric soundscapes. Andy's deeply personal and melodic pop songs are translated via ambient keyboard and percussion loops, layered vocal harmonies, and the occasional sound effect.
Wow, I sound awesome.
I'm sure you are, Andy.
Well, what does that all mean then?
I think it means I've got a unique little instrument that I've been developing over the last couple of years. And I'm primarily a keyboard player, piano player. I've been making records for other people for a long time, so I'm interested in recording technology. And so I've combined kind of piano and my singing and my little pop songs with recording. So it's been the domain of guitarists for a few years now, but we're trying to take it back for the keyboard player. So I've got this little looping recorder that I can record things, harmonies and keyboard sounds as we go along and build up these kind of soundscapes.
Well, we're going to revisit that later. Now, what I'd like to do is rewind. Okay. Thank you. It's very good at sound effects.
He's great, isn't he?
Now, tell us about your upbringing and tell us about the role that religion and music played in it.
Well, it all started when I was a boy.
When you were born.
Yes, it started when I was born. I think religion and it was a very large part. I grew up in the Christian church and my parents are heavily involved in the church as elders in the Baptist church. And so that's kind of the musical tradition that I grew up in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne here. And I heard a lot of, I grew up with the Baptist hymns and the record collection at home. I'm the youngest of four boys. And they're all three. You rolled your eyes then. What's wrong with that? Yeah, so all my three older brothers, they were all sort of 1 year after another. Then there's a big gap to me. So they were all listening to my parents were kind of feeding me a lot of bunch of white gospel music and harmony groups. And my brothers were all listening to sort of British rock, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple,
Stairway to
Black
Heaven,
Sabbath. Yeah,
one
all
of
that.
My favourites.
All that. So somewhere in there.
The reason I was rolling my eyes, I was just feeling really sorry for your mother.
Yeah, well, with good reason, I think. Yeah, we gave her some what for.
So whenabouts did you actually realise that music was going to be your career rather than just something you dabbled in?
I think really early. I think all through school. I remember thinking, I think I can sing. That was pretty early on. I had some incredible music teachers who decided that I was going to be musical. And that was a real help. But I think, by the time I've always been able to play piano since about then, I think 7 or 8. And it came, I was picking out things, off the radio. I never really learnt properly. And, I always, from about 13, I started fiddling around with little cassette recorders and making experiments. And I think I always knew all my friends were kind of, what am I going to do? Even through to tertiary, But from 13, I was kind of pumping petrol and trying to make some money up at Marysville and Narbathong, trying to, trying to get some money to go into the studio and record some of my songs. So I was just totally obsessed with it from the start. It was always going to happen, I guess.
Yeah. I remember hearing you first in The Pirates of Penzance, the lead role at Alexandra High School.
Well, thanks for reminding me in front of a whole bunch of people about that, Joy. And I recall hearing about this radio station and me thinking that was actually yours.
Well, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So there, how'd you like them apples?
Where do you get inspiration from to write the words and music?
Oh, I think that's a pretty broad question, I guess. I guess everything. Being involved in production and then playing and singing, I can't really separate any of those things. I think the large part, I think I grew up in the bush pretty much as a teenager. I was in the suburbs of Melbourne before that, and I get pretty inspired by nature. And I guess a lot of my songs are sort of searching songs and redemption songs, I guess. So I guess there's a big spiritual element to them. But I guess just stories, my own experience, and I guess the first songs that I ever wrote as a young angsty teenage boy in the country were all sort of getting out my angst. And so it was just pure expression, I guess. There wasn't that much craft involved. But But yeah, so your own experience and then the bush. I'm really inspired by the bush and nature and God in nature. And
So
that might sound simple, but that's actually probably the truth for me.
So how would you describe your music in terms of genre? I mean, do you perform solo or do you have a band?
Okay, so when I started out, after high school, I had a band. It was a big kind of poppy, rocky sound. And I did that for a long time, flicking my hair around as much as I possibly could. And that and my torn jeans and a bunch of guitarists. And, I had two drummers, two keyboard players. It was a big band. And, yeah, I just went for it. And I loved American rock at that stage. Now, this little instrument that I was telling you about is a little bit more chilled out. And it's kind of loopy and keyboardy. And other people an English friend described it as ambient pop fusion.
Okay.
It's kind of, it's got some sort of ambient-y elements in there.
Well, we're going to listen to some just in a minute.
This is Joy 94.9, your gay and lesbian station.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, the Poof and the Pianist. We have Andy Sorensen with us this evening. Andy, that was a wonderful track. Tell us about it. That was the Sowers Group, is that right?
Yeah, the Sowers Group. Yeah, they're a bunch of very, very good friends of mine based out of, a couple of different countries. Rwanda, Tanzania, and the guys are all originally from Congo, DR Congo.
How did you get to go and work with them? How did that all come about?
Well, I've always loved African music, but in my capacity as a producer, I was invited to go to record this big stadium event in Rwanda in 2006, which was, there are some friends of mine, Mark and Darlene Check, who I've been working on some records with, invited me there to record this event where a whole bunch of English bands and a whole bunch of people had come into, they'd started a thing called 100 Days of Hope, where, the anniversary of their horrible genocide that happened in 1994, these guys invited people just to come with whatever skills they had, teachers, musicians, builders, people would just come for 100 days and just serve the community and turn it into a hopeful thing. So, yeah, I went there to record that and was just totally overtaken by the music there. And just kind of stayed and heard lots of the local bands and just became friends with a lot of them. And I thought, I'd been given a great opportunity when I was a kid and some guys really kind of helped me kickstart my thing. And I just felt like it was the time for me to do that and stayed and helped these guys make a record in the small way that I could. And then that turned into a little bit of a 5-year project and then touring with them. And, it was amazing. So, I got to live with those guys and make a record in there.
And forgive me because I guess it hasn't been in the news recently, which might be good news. Is it now peaceful there? Are people rebuilding their lives in Rwanda?
Rwanda is very much on the move forward and up, economically. And they've got a massive, they're really into education and they've got a big focus on that. But look, they're still, over the border into Congo, there's a whole bunch of stuff there that's just... tough stuff. I don't know what the solution is, but there's always kind of conflict there.
Now, during your 20s, you also went through a really tough time when you began having flashbacks about being abused sexually as a child. What impact did this have on your spirituality and also on your music?
They're big questions. Ask me the first part again. Sorry, I was trying to take it all in at once.
What impact did that...
I had a massive impact. I guess for a long time... Yeah, so the experience that I had happened to me when I was in my early teenage years and outside my family. It's important to say that. And love my family. I guess the impact... I really only started remembering this. This experience happened to me, this abuse happened to me probably for a period of around 3 years. And, I didn't even know of its existence, really. I think my mind or whatever it is had shut that down until I reckon I was 27 or 28. I started seeing these things and, of course, that all came back. Yeah. So I think it had just been kind of repressed until I was able to somehow kind of process it. I'm not really sure. Yeah, but it was a big deal. And it's been really only up until now that I've been able to talk about it through. Really because I lost a friend of mine about a year and a half ago, took their own life. And a similar thing had happened to her and she wasn't able to deal with it and get through it or even talk to anybody about it, as far as I'm aware. So that's kind of brought me out of the closet with that one as far as, you know, telling my story. I thought I'd take it to the grave with me because I didn't think it would benefit anybody. But since I've been talking about it, and it's the reason that I'm kind of singing again, really, is just to sort of tell a little bit of my story and hopefully bring courage to other people, because I think the first step is just to kind of put one foot in front of the next and just say, you know, keep going and wake up the next day. And, you know, that's a choice that we kind of have to make, I think.
And was your music part of your healing, do you think?
Oh, definitely. I think I've got a massive advantage there in that ever since I was a little guy, music has really been, you know, a conduit for me. And it's language, as I found out in Africa. It's, you know, here's guys who didn't speak the same literal language as me, and then they'd sing, and I go, I know what you're singing about, brother, you know? I don't know, there's something about it. So for me, I was able to take out my frustrations on the piano and get a lot of it out that way. I think that's an amazing thing that music does. And I think that's been a real advantage. So even in Africa now, when guys are coming out who've been ex-child soldiers, people are encouraging them to write about their experiences, do something artistic, write poetry, sing a song about it, because it just helps people go through the process and grieving and dealing with it. So I think that's a very healthy thing. It's very much helped me. Yeah.
It's therapeutic, isn't it?
Very, very much so, I think.
Have you had any people like talk to you about the fact that what you've been through and the music that they've listened to of yours has helped them with their healing from similar things?
It hasn't been a succinct plan. I am a musician, so you know.
Yeah.
But look, as soon as I started talking about this, I did an interview and played a song, which I think is on the list here that we're going to play a little bit later, called Very Bright Future, which has been really important for me. Ever since I mentioned it, people in the audience on the first night just came up to me and said, I never thought, me, Andy, I never thought that I'd be able to tell anybody. And since doing it and just telling my story, I had heaps of people on that very first night come up to me and say, listen, I've never told anybody about this, but...
Wow.
So I think it's just an encouragement for people. Do you know what I mean? It's not anything that I've done. It's just a matter of, look, I think when you go through an experience like that, the most, you know, it's remarkable to realize that you're not the only person.
Exactly.
I don't know. So, yeah, so I think that's just an encouragement for other people.
It's sad to think that, you know, there are so many people, as you say, in the closet with that, keeping it to themselves
the stats are amazing.
Like,
yes.
Who do they tell?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to let it out? And they, you know, and that's great. They just listen to your music. What a great example, because they see that you've done it.
Well, that's been my way. And I think the most important thing that I would want to say is that if there's something that you can do, I don't know whether I would not be good being able to just, you know, talk to somebody one on one. But music for me was a way. But if there's some way that you can write something down, talk to somebody, I would love to encourage people to do that, because when you don't deal with it and just leave it there, it's a thing that's going to sort of, it can take you over. And
I think those are the fact that you've been through it, people can then relate to your music. And I think that music is and can be very healing for people just listening, because they think, oh, well, someone understands.
Yeah. Yeah, and music is spirit and soul, isn't it? It's language, and it bypasses all the cerebral stuff. So music can get to us as music fans or listeners in a way that not too many other things can. That's why most people love the arts.
Okay, we're talking to Andy Sorensen. We'll be back just in a minute.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. And that's Very, Very Bright Future by Andy Sorensen. He put me off. He pretended to be playing piano at that point. Now, Andy, you are currently on the Underwater Breathing Tour.
Yes, ma'am.
How is it going? Are you performing in lots of swimming pools?
We did consider that. However, local councils being what they are, I was going to launch off into a long joke there, but it was never going to work. So, no, the answer is no. We're playing in art spaces and community halls and some very groovy places.
Clubs and wineries
and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that's very conducive to listening to beautiful music, I hope. And I've got some very gifted friends coming along to help me make such things.
Yeah. So it was just the promo that showed you underwater breathing.
Well, there is a bit of underwater breathing going on, and people have been turning up with all manner of paraphernalia, like snorkels, flippers. But yeah, there are. We did take all the promo shots were taken underwater with live. People said, "Is it effects or what?" But no, we did go down there and take all those photographs, and
I
that
hope
was fun.
It was warm.
It was actually a little chilly. Just ask the photographer.
So were you trying to sing underwater? Did it sound like you were gurgling?
I was singing underwater, and we're doing a video actually for the song called Underwater Breathing.
The Underwater Breathing song does sound a little bit like you are singing underwater at times, doesn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
How does that work? Yeah, no, so we did that, but trust me, there are no tanks involved or Houdini stuff.
You don't put your head in a bowl of water while you're singing at that point.
Maybe I should. We might get a lot, you know, we might get a wider variety of people coming along to see it then.
Yes.
And what towns have you actually played in, and the people who have come along to see it, how have they kind of received it?
Look, people are great. I think because the performance is unique, the little looping keyboard thing, I don't think there's a heap of that going on. People are really, you know, very friendly, and they're very encouraging, really, for an old fella getting out there with his keyboard and singing his songs. It's great. We've only just started out on the tour. We've played in Taree and Newcastle and Albury, and now we get right into the, you know, we're doing back-to-back-to-back shows, four shows a week, starting this week.
Yeah. Great. So where are you playing in Victoria?
We're playing in Geelong on Thursday night, here in Melbourne on Friday night, and at a winery at the Yarra Valley on Saturday afternoon.
Wonderful.
And then we'll be back in New South Wales, yeah.
So it sounds like you've got a pretty loyal following in Australia. Do you have... Have you performed overseas and whereabouts?
Yeah, excuse me. I've performed in the US. I've done a couple of US tours, and I don't know. Can you call New Zealand overseas? I don't know. When I'm in New Zealand, I refer to Australia as the West Island. They love that.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, I'm not sure that too many Aussies are.
Do you know who the All Blacks are, though?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yes, I do.
You really do need to know that if you're going to go to New Zealand.
I do. I want to be a Kiwi when I grow up. It's always been one of my ambitions.
Well, that's all right, because most of the Kiwis are coming over here, so you could just go back there.
Yeah. So I've played in Asia and the Philippines, and I'm getting lots of invites since I've been doing this record. I went on tour with an amazing guitarist from the UK called John Gom, who is spectacular, beautiful artist. He's from Leeds, and I went around as the support act for him around Australia this year and got a lot of love from his audience, and they're all kind of coming back to see me, so it was great. But since I've put out a little video on this record, lots of people from every country that you can't pronounce is asking me to come to their country.
So you've got an atlas and you're looking for them?
It's been good for my geography. I wish I had taken more notice at school.
So how can people get tickets to your shows?
Ah, I'm glad you asked that question, Joy.
Do you have an answer, though?
I do. If only I had a reverb machine now, I'd go to andysorensen.com.
That's very good. That's where you can go.
andysorensen.com, and they're all there, and you can just click on the little thing and grab a ticket and come along. It'll be a great night of fun art and music and all kinds of... I've got a painter in our shows in Queensland coming along and doing some paintings while we do the music, and, yeah, some great support acts too.
Oh, sounds great. So where to for Andy Sorensen?
Up, Joy, up.
Up.
Up. World domination? I don't know. How do you answer that? How do you answer?
Do you have plans?
I have plans. Look, I'm a simple man. I like music. I like making music. I like creating things. I think creation equals living, and I think that everybody's born creative, and I just want to keep, you know, to get an opportunity to play music and to sing is just a real honour, and I love doing it. I encourage everybody that I know to do their art in some form, and that's what I'll be doing until I drop, I imagine.
Mm. I'm going to have a tour. Like the Rolling Stones and everyone else who keeps coming back. Yeah. Maybe you could sing at the grand final.
Maybe I could, but Meatloaf's got that covered, hasn't he? That was awesome.
No, I think he's been sacked.
I think he has. I think rightfully so.
I think they should go for homegrown Aussie.
They did make an announcement today, but I'm not going to trump you on that one.
I did hear it, but I couldn't remember who it was. So we're going to have another track that is selected by Andy. Now, Andy, do you want to introduce this track by a Blip, Turn You Round? Tell us a bit about them and...
Blip is a very good friend of mine. Friends of mine. Actually, they'll be playing up with me at the Yarra Valley Winery on Saturday afternoon. And Blip is my good friend Phil Butson and his wife Chris Butson. And they are like, they're remarkable. They make amazing records for themselves and producing lots of other artists. And yeah, they're some of my heroes and mentors, and they make amazing records.
So here's Blip with Turn You Around.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. And we've got a photographer too. Thanks to Betty for being in the studio taking photos. And you'll be able to see them on our social media shortly.
Yes, they'll all be up on our social media. Actually, I think there might even be one or two that will be up there straight after the show. So, yes, log on to find us. Just search for Spirit Lounge 94.9.
Yes, and then they can print out our photos and put them on the dartboard or whatever they like to do with them. Now, this is time for news, isn't it? And it always happens, does it not?
What does?
When there's a disaster, we are at fault.
Yes, the gazer to blame.
Without fail.
Mm-hmm. What's been happening?
Well, you've been to New Orleans, haven't you?
I have.
So was it your fault because you've been there?
Yes, because I've been there and I'm gay. I have been to New Orleans. My best mate from California got married in New Orleans. She married a local bloke there. It's a beautiful place. Best Mardi Gras in the world, of course. But it's not called Mardi Gras there. It's called Southern Decadence.
Yes.
Is their name for Mardi Gras. The latest hoo-ha in the press is that some religious extremists have blamed the gays for Hurricane Isaac hitting New Orleans.
But Hurricane Isaac just sort of petered out a bit, didn't it?
Well, I think it was downgraded to a tropical storm, wasn't it? But it was still pretty wet. Did you see any of the videos on the internet? Pretty wet. A lot of people being evacuated. But this lunatic, Pastor John McTernan, and he's from an organisation called Defend and Proclaim the Faith.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
How scary does that sound? Yeah. I'm shaking at the knees. He's blaming Hurricane Isaac on New Orleans' annual Gay Pride Festival, Southern Decadence, which happened to fall last weekend, and on the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, which of course devastated the city 7 years ago. So he's saying it's all the gays' fault.
Well, why not? They all have to blame someone, and we're responsible for every disaster. Well, I'm not sure how we do it, but
the thing that does make me angry is that there's a whole bunch, like I read this news article and I think, oh, that's fun, he can have his opinion. But how many people actually like listen to him and actually think, oh, well, you know, the gays are really influential now?
But this is the problem. Some people do believe complete idiots like this who, you know, doesn't have any credibility other than bashing the Bible.
I'm surprised that they can't be actually charged for inciting hatred.
Well, this is part of his rant. He says, the church, city and nation have not repented and the homosexual agenda is far worse than it was in 2005. New Orleans is still hosting Southern Decadence with open sexuality, homosexuality manifesting in the streets of New Orleans. It could be that God is putting an end to this city and its wickedness. The timing of Hurricane Isaac with Southern Decadence is a sign that God's patience with America's sin is coming to an end. I mean, what a complete lunatic.
Well, yes.
Who believes him? But unfortunately, people do.
Probably other lunatics do, unfortunately.
Anyway.
And people that are a little gullible, unfortunately.
I know. Anyway, so I don't think it is the gays' fault. Do we control the weather? Of course we don't.
Well, I'm sure we must somehow. Anyway, talking about gays, you've got a story about Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, I love Ellen. This just made me laugh. I'm sure there are people listening who like watching Modern Family. I mean, it's a fabulous, fabulous show. And, of course, the elections are coming up and the Romneys are, you know, big in the press. And Anne Romney revealed that Modern Family is one of her favourite TV shows when she was being interviewed. And the show's creator offered her a role as the officiant of Cam and Mitch's wedding when gay marriage is legalised. Now, of course, if we know anything about the Romneys at all, they're Mormons. They believe in just marriage should be between a man and a woman and nothing else. They backed Proposition 8 in 2008, which banned gay marriage in California, it having been legalized, you know, they then banned it. Ellen DeGeneres gets tweeting and she says that she'd like a cameo role in the unlikely to ever happen event that Mrs. Romney's character, as Mrs. Romney's character's roommate. Which I think's great. And of course, you know, as we all know, she's openly gay. She's married to Portia de Rossi. They got married while it was legal in California. She's a great advocate for marriage equality, and so she's having a right go at them, and I'm sure won't be voting for them.
What happens to people who get married and then it's they repel the legislation?
Well, I think they're still legally married,
right?
But it's an interesting question, you know, is it still honoured and still recognised? I don't know how these places can say yes and then they revoke it and say no. And I mean, it's a nonsense. And it's a shame that somewhere like California actually went like that, because it's generally a progressive state and pretty good. I mean, I was raised there partly. And it's a cool place. But anyway, there we are.
So that's the news for this week, and we'll be back to say goodbye shortly.
Check out our podcast on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
A big thank you to you, Andy, for coming in and sharing with us on the program. And our last track is one of yours called Grass is Greener. Can you tell us about this track?
I can. This Grass is Always Greener, I don't know if anybody remembers the 70s.
Slightly.
Sadly, I do.
Well, there was a guy, keyboard player, called Rick Wakeman. Not that you'll recognise anything to do with Rick Wakeman when you hear the start of this track, but in the middle there, I do threaten that there might be a little rock fusion moment, at least 8 bars. So, you know, in all of this sort of artsy-fartsy, lovey-dovey music, I thought I'd better insert a little bit of rock fusion in there. Why not? Dedicated to all my Facebook friends, this song.
So, it's goodbye from the priest.
And from the pump.
And from the puff.
And the piano player.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.